are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans. Welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. My name is Patricia Traina, and I am your host. I cover the New York Giants for a variety of places. You can keep up with all my work, what articles are coming out where, what radio spots I have, and so on and so forth, by following me on Twitter at Patricia_Traina. And today, of course, is Twitter Tuesday, one of my favorite days of the week, because it is my chance to hear from you, to hear what you have on your mind, what questions you have, and to maybe offer some answers or some feedback and some opinions. So I do thank everybody for sending in questions. We do have a bunch of questions, which I'm going to try to get through all of them. So let's not waste any more time. Let's jump right into the questions. And I have a few here that were sent to our email address, which is lockedongiantspodcast@gmail.com, starting with Nick, who comes all the way from Wales. So, wow, North Wales. Nick, thanks so much for the shout out and for the listens. I really appreciate it. Okay, so Nick wants to know, with hindsight, looking back at 2016 and the killer defense, how important was Andrew Adams, or at least a semi-competent free safety, second safety, to work with Landon Collins? Seems like this is one of the missing pieces on defense. Any thoughts to how they solve it in 2019? Nick, absolutely. You are 100% spot on. I was surprised that they cut Andrew Adams. And a pattern that I've seen with the Giants so far this year is every player that they've moved on from, for whatever the reason, Andrew Adams, Devon Kennard, Romeo Okwara, it was based on production or lack thereof when those guys were Giants. And it was just kind of weird to me because, you know, you think of the role of a coach and his job is to teach and to bring out the best in someone. So just because a player, at least this is my thought on it, but just because a player doesn't do well under one coaching staff or isn't as productive doesn't mean that you necessarily give up on the guy. And I just felt that, you know, they gave up on Andrew Adams. I thought he was a more than serviceable player, certainly a better player than Curtis Riley. And they cut him. I was shocked that they did. And now they have a hole at that position. They're going to definitely have to address that position in some way, shape, or form next year, whether they, you know, move Sean Chandler to that role, whether they pick up another kid in the draft, whether they sign a free agent. It's too soon to say for sure, but they definitely are going to have to do something at that position. So you are absolutely right. And again, I thank you for the question and for listening all the way from North Wales. All right, up next is Tony T. And he wants to know if the decision to trade Damon Harrison and Eli Apple reflects a view by management and coaching that only fundamental change in the offseason draft and free A acquisitions can produce a winning team, not any in-season moves. I'm not sure if I totally understand that question, Tony, but the decision to move on from Damon Harrison and Eli Apple was basically, you know, well, let's take Snacks first. He was a guy who is going to be 30 on his next birthday. He had a big salary cap hit, and the Giants had drafted a couple of young studs, B.J. Hill. They also had R.J. McIntosh. They have Dalvin Tomlinson. So, yeah, they had those guys, and they probably felt that they could get by with, you know, younger guys who can develop further, you know, be developed by the coaches and contribute to the long term. So I'm not so sure, you know, that, you know, it was anything other than that. Now, the decision with Eli Apple, I think what happened there is Eli Apple's production just kind of fell off a cliff a little bit. He started out strong. Somewhere along the line, the Giants probably saw something they liked in Grant Haley during the practices, saw something they liked in Sean Chandler, who can play safety and cornerback, and B.W. Webb stepped up. So I think, again, they probably felt that, you know, rather than make a decision on Eli Apple, whom I believe was coming up, they would have had to make a decision, I think, next year on him, whether or not to pick up his option year of his rookie deal. They just decided to cut bait, and they were able to get a couple of draft picks. So I can't really blame them for you know, trading a couple of guys and getting some draft capital, which they are going to need, by the way, because, you know, as we all know, the previous regime absolutely left the cupboard bare when it came to the draft picks. So I think that that was the deciding factor there. So thanks for that question. Let's see. Michael C. has another question about Curtis Riley and wants to know, what if the Giants try to use or addition him at cornerback for some snaps, since he played at that position in the past? Mike, usually when a cornerback can't hack it anymore, he's generally moved to safety. I don't know that there have been any cases where a guy who couldn't hack it at safety was moved to cornerback. So I don't think that's going to be in the cards for Curtis Riley. I get where you're coming from, but you got to remember, he bounced around the league as a cornerback before finding a home with the Giants. So, you know, for what it's worth, and I don't mean to sound, you know, rude or anything, how good could he have been as a cornerback if he, you know, underwent this position change and still isn't delivering, I guess, what they might have been expecting him to deliver. So that's how I feel about that position. So thank you for that question. All right, now let's go on to some Twitter questions. And this one comes from Jeff, wants to know, how do you feel about moving Collins to linebacker? Jeff, I don't think they're going to do that, but it's interesting because the coaches have played Collins and given him a lot of responsibilities of a linebacker. And I just don't see them formally anointing him and saying, okay, Lennon, from here on in, you are going to be titled or styled, I should say, as a linebacker. I think they're going to give him linebacker roles. You know, he's shown that he's very good when he plays closer to the line of scrimmage, and that he struggles, a little bit in coverage. So I just think with a better partner alongside of him, if he is back next year, Landon Collins will be that much more effective as a player. Thank you for that question. Okay, Jack S. wants to know, after the season, will the Giants keep Eli Manning or move on to someone else? Jack, I really would be shocked if the Giants move on to someone else. I think as long as Eli is healthy and he does not retire, he will be the quarterback in 2019. Now, will he play the entire season? Will he be the starter? Let's take that second question first. I do think he will be the starter. Will he play the entire season? I think that's all going to depend on whether or not they draft a quarterback or acquire a young quarterback somewhere in the draft. Because I'm not so sure that Kyle Lauletta is the long-term answer at quarterback. And I know I say that having not seen him take any game snaps, but I think if Kyle Lauletta was a guy they were looking to as the future, they would have found a way to get him some snaps, similar to what the Chiefs did last year with Patrick Mahomes and Alex Smith. They got Patrick Mahomes into a game and got him some snaps. And the Giants, I just don't see a sense of urgency right now from the coaching staff to get Lauletta any snaps. I think, you know, and I've said this all along, as long as the Giants are in the playoff hunt, Eli Manning will be the quarterback. And I do think next year they will keep him. And I'm even pretty sure, you know, I see a way that they can keep him at his salary cap figure. So I'll be explaining that in articles to come. I'll break that down in more detail, but I do thank you for that question. Jetta R. wants to know, will the Giants get a quarterback in the first round of next year's draft? Jetta, right now we don't know what the entire draft class is going to look like, so I think that's a little premature to be asking. My gut feeling, though, When I look at this team, I think the problems on this team is more rooted in the defensive side of the ball. And if I'm the Giants and I see a defensive class that is rich with pass rushers, that's where I'm going with my first round pick. Now, again, the class is not complete because the juniors and sophomore eligibles have not declared. But if I'm the Giants, I'm looking to fix that defense, because how many times were the Giants in games this year only to let it slip through their fingers? And that's on the defense. So you fix that defense and you bring it up to speed. And I think hopefully they won't have as many of those instances where they're losing games and not finishing games late, you know, in the process. G-Man Thoughts wants to know, chances that the Giants pick up Barksdale? Right now, zero. Don't see it happening. Barksdale, I think, is going to be either 30 or 31. My guess for right tackle, someone to keep an eye on after the season, is Darrell Williams of the Carolina Panthers. And I don't have to tell you why. I think you guys all know the Carolina connection with Dave Gettleman. So that would be the guy I would keep an eye on. I don't think Barksdale is going to, you know, be picked up by the Giants. Okay. Giddy Up wants to know, the upcoming draft, who do you think the Giants' priority will be, O-line or D-line? Again, Giddy Up, definitely, if I'm the Giants, I go defense. Pass rushers are at a premium. And there's, you know, from what I understand, there's a bunch of them in this draft class, just on the seniors alone. And just based on the guys who have, you know, come out and said that they're going to declare. So if I am the Giants, I go defense, because you get that defense fixed. You get a pass rusher or two in there. And I think you're going to be cooking with gas this time next year. So thank you for that question. Let's see. Scott Z wants to know about Dwayne Haskins for our first round pick. Scott, I haven't done any draft study yet. I know very little about it. I do know it's a rich defensive class. Individual prospects, I just couldn't comment on them now. I will be able to comment on prospects in January once the season is over. So just, you know, please, guys, hang on to those questions for later on in, you know, for early next year. And that's where I'll try and answer some of those questions. Okay, folks, we're going to take a quick break. You are listening to Locked On Giants with Patricia Trinette. It is a Twitter Tuesday. We're going to stop for a moment, hear from our sponsors, and be right back with more of your questions. Hey, Giant fans. With the temperatures dropping in parts of the country, it's important to stay warm, especially if you're partaking in outdoor activities. And if you've been looking for an apparel line that keeps you warm and toasty in the frigid temperatures, you got to check out Action Heat, makers of the world's best battery-heated clothing. Action Heat clothing is engineered to safely and efficiently deliver heat via heating panels similar to a heated car seat. They can reach temperatures of up to 135 degrees and are powered by a rechargeable 5-volt lithium-ion battery that lasts up to 12 hours on each charge, and which can also be used to recharge your phone or any other gadget while you're wearing them. Action Heat's clothing line is great for anyone who works outdoors, who skis or is a snowboarder, joggers, or anyone who loves the outdoors but hates being cold. Action Heat offers heated jackets, socks, gloves, hats, and even undergarments such as heated base layer shirts and long johns, available for both men and women with several styles to choose from. And now, listeners to the Locked On Giants podcast can save 20% off their entire order at actionheat.com when they enter the coupon code Locked On. Stay toasty warm while you enjoy all your outdoor activities this winter with Action Heat. Visit actionheat.com and remember to enter your special promo code Locked On, that's all one word, to save your 20% discount on your entire order. Welcome back, New York Giant fans, to Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. You're with Patricia Traina, I'm your host, and it is a Twitter Tuesday, and in segment two, more of your Twitter questions. All right, Gary W. wants to know, who is the team's MVP this season, Saquon Barkley or Aldrick Rosas? I got to go with Barkley, Gary, because without Barkley, how can I put this? Barkley has helped open up things for the offense. You know, I've been saying for years that the Giants have not had a good running game. And I always believe that a good running game would be a quarterback's best friend, whether it was Eli Manning, whether it was Kyle Lauletta, Alex Tanney, Joe Blow, whoever. And I think we're seeing some of that Barkley magic on the, not just on the Giants offense, but on the quarterback play. Because when you don't have to ask your quarterback to throw 600 times a season, which is about what Eli Manning has been averaging the last several years, it really does make a difference. And you don't see that tired arm at the end of the year. So I think I got to give it to Barkley. No disrespect to Rosas. He's having a heck of a year. He definitely deserves Pro Bowl honors, in my opinion. But if you're talking team MVP, I got to go with Barkley, who's just been everything they have, you know, expected and then some. So thank you for that question. Jamie B. wants to know, which position players do the Giants go after, either with the draft or free agency next year, other than quarterback? Right tackle, free safety. I would get pass rushers in here. I would maybe get another linebacker or two in here because I'm not so sure that Olivier Vernon and Connor Barwin will be back next year. I might look to get another cornerback in here and probably another receiver. You know, not, you know, that's not in any particular order, but those are some positions that I would definitely look to bring in next year. So thanks for that question, Jamie. Dennis F. wants to know, does Evan Engram become expendable for the Giants front office in the offseason, given that Gettleman favors tight ends that can play and block in the line as opposed to Evan Engram being a glorified wideout? That one's a tough one for me, Dennis. I personally wouldn't give up on Engram next year. I would give him one more year to kind of, you know, develop and hit his stride and kind of, you know, start trending upward. I mean, this year has been a rough one for him injury-wise, you know, what with learning a new system. It does look like the Giants, you know, found a formula with him by reducing his snaps. Earlier in the year, they were asking him to block, which is not a role he does well, as we, I think we can all agree. But yeah, I think you keep on, you hold on to him for another year. He's not going to cost you that much next year. You don't have to make a decision on his rookie deal next year, whether or not to pick up the option. So what do you have to lose? I mean, you know, maybe at worst case scenario, he doesn't give you a whole lot, but best case scenario, he contributes, as you say, in that wide receiver type of role. So that's my thought on that. Brady wants to know, do you think the absence of Eli Apple is somehow related to Jackrabbit's better play of late? No, Brady. I think what has happened with Janoris Jenkins is, and he said this today, or actually he said this yesterday, I'm sorry, when he spoke to the media, he had some sort of injury or ailment as a result of some off-season surgery that he had that, you know, it takes some time to get that, you know, when you have surgery and you're an athlete, especially a football player, and you're now in a year-round cycle where you basically don't have time to sit and rest, you know, because you got to start training, you got to start moving around. You know, sometimes it takes these guys who are coming off of significant injuries a year or two extra to really get back to themselves. And I think that's what happened with Janoris Jenkins based on what he was saying. You know, he spoke about how he was slowed down a little bit, but you're absolutely right. He is playing a lot better, but I don't think it has to do with the absence of Eli Apple. Okay. Lee S. wants to know, why do fans believe that losing for draft pick is best when a losing culture stain is hard to remove? Lee, I wish I had an answer for you. You'd have to ask those fans who believe that tanking is the way to go. I mean, I do agree with you that you want to build a winning culture. And when you start, you know, losing on purpose, you should basically turn in your membership card to whatever league you belong to, because that just goes against every rule of being a competitor. And I don't know any team that would do that. I don't know any athlete that would do that. And again, if they do, they don't deserve to be in the league. I mean, put somebody else in there who deserves, you know, a chance and who wants to work for it. So thank you for that question. Mike H. wants to know, for all the talk of tanking for a better pick, I would have to say it's nice seeing some wins out of the bye. What are your thoughts on building a winning culture? And do you think that translates into next year? Mike, absolutely love the idea of building a winning culture. You know, I'm trying to think of a way to compare it, and I can't quite come up with one. But I will say this. If I'm a free agent and I'm looking for a new team, I don't want to go to a team where you know, there's no stability, where the team is constantly turning over the head coach, where the players are constantly being shuffled in and out, where there's a new quarterback every year, new players every year, you know, the team is in the headlines for the wrong reasons. I don't want that. I want to go to a place where the locker room is stable, where the guys are playing for each other, where, you know, whether the chips are down or whatever, everybody is still giving a full effort, where the coaches are willing to teach, where the coaches, you know, believe in me. That's where I would want to go as a competitor and as an athlete. And I have to believe that, you know, a lot of these guys who are going to hit free agency, I mean, yes, money is going to play a part of it, but I have to believe that there are enough guys out there who want to come to a team that has a good culture, a stable environment, and who is on the uptick. And, you know, I know it doesn't look like it now for the Giants, but I do think they are headed in the right direction. And hopefully they will continue to head in that direction. Andrew wants to know, is Grant Haley's future solely on the slot, or can he play outside? Any insight into how Sam Beal is recovering, and do I see him around the facility? The only thing I could tell you about Sam Beal, and yes, I do see him on occasion. I did have an opportunity to talk with him, just briefly. Seems to be coming along nice, you know, on target. And I do think, you know, and I have, this is just my gut feeling, but I do think you're going to see him as a potential starting cornerback for this team next year, barring any setbacks or disasters that might happen. Regarding Grant Haley's role as a slot corner versus outside, I don't know the answer to that. I'd have to see him in practice. And, you know, during the season, unfortunately, we don't get to see these players during the full part of practice. We get maybe 10, 15 minutes in which we see the warm-ups and maybe some individual drills. But, you know, I really need to see Grant Haley more. You know, I don't want to go off of this past summer, because he's obviously developed a lot more and made strides. So I just don't think it would be fair to answer that question, because I don't want to shortchange the guy one way or another. Birds and Sandals wants to know, how much better is the Giants offensive line now than it was at the beginning of the season? A lot better. I think without question, I think that the offensive line is settling down. I mean, look, I think at the beginning of the season, one of the big problems the Giants had was they had two guys, and Patrick Omame and Eric Flowers, who played on the left side for the majority of their career. And now all of a sudden you're asking those guys to play on the right side. And it's not as easy a transition as people think it is. That's why I was kind of, you know, every time people said, oh, flip Eric Flowers from left tackle to right tackle and it'll solve the problems. It's not that simple, folks. And I think we saw that, you know, by how Flowers struggled. And I think it was the same situation with Omame. And here's the other thing you got to remember. If Omame was so bad, you know, why would Tom Coughlin in Jacksonville have taken him back? You know, remember, Pat Flaherty is the offensive line coach down in Jacksonville, which is where Omame came from. So, you know, Flaherty's a pretty good coach. But when you flip a guy from one side to another, it does take time. And unfortunately, the Giants just did not have the time to allocate for those two guys. And, you know, I can't speak to how hard they worked to make the transition possible, but it was definitely a factor. And I think, you know, the addition of Jamon Brown has been a plus. I think, you know, settling down at center with Spencer Pulley has been a good move. Chad Wheeler has been playing better, and Nate Solder has been playing better. And I keep, you know, pointing to this. You watch Nate Solder out there, and he's got a big apparatus on his arm. And I don't know what the apparatus is for, but whatever it was, you know, Nate seems to be playing better ball of late, you know. So definitely think the offensive line is headed in the right direction. That doesn't mean they can't use upgrades along the line, but, you know, for now, compared to the beginning of the season, huge difference. Billy Bloops wants to know, have we seen enough from Jamon Brown to re-sign him after this year? I do think so, Billy. I think the Giants will try to re-sign Jamon Brown, maybe give him a 3-year deal. Have to figure out kind of, you know, what they might do with money. I haven't really done that, but I'm thinking 3 years would be a good deal for him. I don't know, maybe similar to what Omame got. I'd have to look at it. But, you know, the thing about Jamon Brown that I don't think a lot of people know is that in addition to playing right guard, this guy can also play right tackle. So he does give the Giants some flexibility in that regard. And it's just a matter of, you know, A, do they get him re-signed? And B, where do they feel his best position is going to be? So thank you for that question. Okay, Big Blue Thoughts. Have Olivier Vernon and Janoris Jenkins improved their possibilities of staying with the team in 2019 after their performances Sunday against the Bears? My guess is no. And, you know, no disrespect to OV or Jenkins, but, you know, as I said at the top of the show, the draft class is going to be rich in pass rushers. And if you can get a young pass rusher and develop him and have him for several years at a cheaper rate than $17 million or whatever Olivier Vernon's base salary is for next year, why wouldn't you do it? I think it's a no-brainer. You know, it's unfortunate OV is he's a hard worker. You know, I do think, you know, he tries to do right. Injuries have been a problem. But, you know, you look at his play this year, and not only has the pass rush been a, you know, has he struggled with that at times, but his run defense against the Bears was just not very good. I mean, he was getting sucked inside, wasn't getting off blocks. And if you're going to pay big bucks, you want a guy who can do, you know, play against the run and the pass. And I just don't think, you know, I just don't have a good feeling about OV being a Giant in 2019. And as far as Jenkins goes, again, you got to look at the age. You got to look at the salary. I think if I'm the Giants, I try and get younger at that position. I would be shocked if Jenkins is back next year. Certainly not on the contract that he has. I think he's due to count for about $13 million or so. So I do think they move on. You're listening to Locked On Giants. We're going to take our final break. And then when we come back, I'm going to answer some more of your Twitter Tuesday questions. So do stay with us. The Locked On Podcast Network is doing unprecedented things on Twitter and Instagram. On Twitter, follow Locked On NFL Net to get all the latest breaking news and game highlights from the Locked On Podcast Network NFL hosts, all on one convenient feed. On Instagram, Locked On NFL Net gives you the biggest stories, including audio cuts as provided by the various Locked On NFL team hosts. Make sure you follow Locked On NFL Net on both Twitter and Instagram to get your daily fill of the NFL. Welcome back, Giant fans. You are with Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. And I am Patricia Traina, and it is Twitter Tuesday, and I am sitting here determined to answer as many of your questions as I possibly can. Be sure that you mark your questions, ask P-Train, P-T-R-A-I-N. That's the best way for me to find them, because I just simply call up that hashtag and just go down the line. So make sure if you're tweeting them, you include that hashtag. All right, continuing on with your questions. 01S Micah wants to know, what is more important right now, getting wins or giving our young guys proper snaps? Both. I know where you're going with this. I think you're probably thinking of Kyle Lauletta, But as I have said before, Pat Shurmur is trying to win games. And as long as the Giants have a mathematical chance of a postseason berth, which they still do, guys, they still have a chance. It's a slim one, but it is a chance. Shurmur's going to put the best players out there to win. And the other thing you got to remember is this isn't training camp. This isn't an opportunity where, you know, this isn't a player tryout, I think, you know, is what Shurmur said. The time to try players out and get them proper snaps is in the preseason. And you can obviously mix and match your guys. So in other words, you can take a third stringer that you think might have a future with your team and play them against the other team's first string. So I just think that, you know, is there a balance? Yes, but I wouldn't expect to see Kyle Walletta, maybe not until, I want to say maybe the last three games, if that soon. So we shall see on that. AJ wants to know, is Barkley healthy? Why the tent? And same thing with Shepherd, Sterling Shepherd. Barkley is fine. When a player gets injured, they go into this medical tent to be checked out. It's nothing to be concerned about. It's just precautionary. Better be safe than sorry. Sterling Shepherd, I think, has some cartilage that he said was rattled or something in his rib cage. And, you know, it's just a matter of playing through pain. So I don't think you have to worry about either of those guys, you know, disappearing due to their injuries. Joe DiMarzo, who would you rather have in their prime? Odell, Plaxico, or Hakeem Nicks? Which receiver ran all the routes and who would help the offense the most? I don't know. That's a very good question, Joe. I think I would probably go Plaxico, Beckham, and Nicks. But you know what? In all fairness and all honesty, I'd have to go back and research that. I mean, I'm going off of memory and you know, that's dangerous to do when you're trying to recall everything a guy has done. So it's a good question, but I'd have to go back and really look at it. But I was, again, Plaxico, Beckham, and Nicks would be my order just off the top of my head. But thank you for that question. That's really interesting and might be something to write about down the line once I can do proper research on it. Okay, Victor P., let's play franchise tag extension trade for 2019. And the three candidates are Landon Collins, Sterling Shepard, Evan Engram. Who gets what of the franchise tag, extension, or trade? Well, I mean, of those three, obviously, Landon Collins, I believe, is the only free agent or unrestricted free agent that's pending. So I think he would get the franchise tag. Although, you know, I don't necessarily think that that's a guarantee that he will get the franchise tag. And in an upcoming article, I will explain why that is. This is an article that actually I'll have maybe towards the end of the year because it is kind of early, but I do have a scenario where I don't think they are going to necessarily put the franchise tag on Landon Collins. And again, I will explain why later in the year. Sterling Shepard, would I extend him if he was reasonable? Yes, I would. And would I trade Evan Engram? Again, not in 2019. I would keep him and give him a chance, you know, on what I would consider a make or break year. But, you know, since we're playing this game, I think, you know, if we're playing by the rules that you've set forward, it's got to be Collins for the tag, Shepard for the extension, and Engram for the trade. Although, again, I don't necessarily agree with two of those three elements. But, hey, that's what you outlined, and you kind of set it up that way. So hopefully that answers your question. John F. wants to know, do you think part of the game management issues is Shurmur insisting on calling his own plays? Yeah, I do, John. I really do because, you know, I've said this before. I know there are head coaches in the NFL who can call their own plays and do so and manage the game wisely. You look at Shurmur's record and the evidence would support, based on his one loss record, would support that, no, he's not as adapted calling plays and managing the game. Now, can he get better at it? Absolutely. But I am not a fan of a head coach who calls his own plays. I think it takes him out of the moment of the game, you know, because when you're a play caller, you're constantly thinking 2, 3, 4 plays ahead. And I see that as a problem. And when something changes or whatnot, you've got to be quick on your feet. And if you are not, that can end up hurting your team. So thank you for that question. Let's see. Justin A. wants to know, should the Giants look to build a team up for 2020? Well, yeah, absolutely. Why wouldn't they? I mean, heck, it starts in 2019. Like I've said before, the Giants under the previous regime, the cupboard was left bare. The draft picks that didn't, you know, make it, the bad free agent decisions, the bloated contracts, that really caused this team's foundation to crumble. So you absolutely have to keep building it up, and not just for 2020, but beyond. So, you know, you're always going to be turning over part of the roster. And, you know, but if you can somehow put together a nice young team and have a core and keep that core together for several years, even better. Okay. Bob C., a.k.a. Bob from Summit, can we please keep getting Ellison in the mix for this offense? Bob, you know, it's interesting. Red Ellison is always, he's always been a guy that as a pass receiver, I've wanted to see more of. And I'm glad they're getting him more involved in that. But his blocking this year, for whatever reason, hasn't been as sharp as it's been in the past. And I don't know if it's because of that foot injury that cost them one game earlier in the year or if there's something else going on. But, you know, Ellison, whereas Ellison was a guy that I thought maybe the Giants would not keep after this year, I've since changed my mind. I do think he will have a place on this roster, you know, going forward. So, but yeah, let's keep getting him the ball because, you know, he's reliable, you know, until he starts drawing attention, why not, right? Okay, Stephen N. asked a question about Curtis Riley. Is there anyone who can take snaps away from him? They can try Michael Thomas, I suppose, but really, you know, I think the depth there is a little, you know, it could be better. I mean, Michael Thomas is a guy I absolutely love. I think he can play that role, you know, to a degree. You know, they're trying to bring up Sean Chandler, bring him up to speed, and he keeps getting better each week. But, you know, the bottom line is they need a true free safety, a guy who can be, you know, who can take 100% of the snaps and be that deep center field threat that the Giants have been missing for quite some time now. Okay, looks like we have one more question. This is from the hater, Grandpa Allridge. How was Jack Rabbit's game on Sunday? Probably one of his best ones, I would say. You know, it's interesting. The teams used to throw at him because I guess they detected something was wrong with him or maybe he wasn't running as well and whatnot. And it's interesting because the Bears initially went after Jack Rabbit on Sunday. And when they saw him just, you know, putting up a brick wall and defending passes, the Bears ended up going away from him. And that speaks to the type of game that Janoris Jenkins had. So definitely looking up for him. But whether or not that means he will be on the team next year, like I've said, well, we'll have to see. My guess is probably not. But you never know. It's still kind of early. And we'll see how Dave Gettleman goes through his evaluation process and what his thinking is. But it's going to be a fun exercise for sure to go through all that. All right, Giant fans, I think I have gone through all the questions that were tagged as P-Train. So I do thank y'all for sending those questions in. They were fantastic, as always. And just a reminder, coming up later on this week, Chris Russell of Locked On Redskins and I will be doing the crossover show. So we'll be previewing the Giants-Washington game coming up this Sunday down at FedEx Field On Thursday, I'm looking to have John Ledyard on. John Ledyard does a great job with the draft. So I think he's a co-host of Locked On NFL Draft. And we're going to start talking some questions about the draft class, how that's shaping up, how the Senior Bowl and East-West Shrine Games invitations are coming together, because that all takes place starting in January. And then on Friday, we will have perspectives. You guys seem to like the perspectives show, so I'll have audio clips from your favorite Giants. I'll try and get some guys one-on-one for the show, and we'll just talk about them, break them down. And, you know, as always, if you have questions along the way, tag them, ask P-Train, or send them to LockedOnGiantsPodcast@gmail.com, and I'll do my best to answer them as time permits in different segments, if not on Twitter Tuesday. So on that note, Giant fans, want to thank you again for listening. Really appreciate the letters, the emails, the tweets, everything. Patricia Traina signing off, and I will talk to you again soon. Take care.